daheim.
Alter. Was denn?
Yes, I'm out in the park that I normally walk through.
It's been snowing. It's very cold.
And I'm snowing a little bit, so I'm having to cover up my device with a microfiber cloth at the moment. It's not snowing heavy, so I don't think it'll affect anything. But you can probably hear that there is, in fact, actually, a football match going on in the park today, in the snow.
Goalkeepers. It's a junior match.
The
goalkeepers look absolutely frozen.
Of course, the guys that are running about, they'll be nice and warm. But it is a lovely day, and I was listening to Paul saying that he was admiring the snow and enjoying it, but he couldn't get out in it. Well, just for you, Paul, just in case you don't actually make it. I've been in the house virtually all day and doing some things. It's nice to get out and about and to get some fresh air and revitalise the brain. It does get stuffy indoors, and your thoughts get stuffy, and eventually you kind of end up going round and round in circles. But I'll be listening to some audio booze, of course, and catching up with what people have been saying. All kinds of stuff, we won't go through them. But as usual, always entertaining. Yeah, so I'm just out for a walk, nothing specific. I did a boo just a little while ago on, as a kind of follow-up boo, or a sideline boo to Pilgrim Chris's Project One on the religious coupling, as it were, in the poem read by Paul. And I, as I said, I put up some stuff there. And after I did that, I kind of thought, you know, that poem really was all about the marriage of couples from the two different beliefs. Not a goal. And after I re-listened to the whole poem again, I thought, you know, really I should do something else, because I didn't cover the marriage or marriages. And it did actually happen within my wife's family. The oldest son, her brother, of course, he did in fact marry a lass from a very Protestant Orange family. Both sides were devastated when the announcement was made, because really my wife's dad didn't know, obviously, that his son was going with this girl for a long, long while. And because it was just a sudden announcement to say that they were going to get married. And that was a shock to the system. But of course, they accepted it after they got over the initial shock. And the marriage went ahead, and they all turned up at the marriage. The only thing being that the shock on the other side, on the daughter-in-law's side, as it were, did not appeal at all, and the father of the bride did not turn up, refused point blank to come to the wedding, and as did many of her family. In fact, I think the only one of her brothers was the only one that turned up at the wedding, which was a damn shame, but such is the way it was at that time. And they have been happily married all those years. They emigrated, reared the family. The family was reared as Catholics, of course, because the bride-to-be, as it were, I'm trying to keep names out here, turned and became Catholic. And part of the reason she became Catholic was because she, after the wedding, when her family wouldn't turn up to see her being married and wouldn't put their bigotry to the side, she decided that that wasn't how she wanted to be. And when she seen that the Catholic side, all, no matter what the shock was, how big the shock was, turned up at the wedding and wished them all well, that she wanted to belong to the Catholic side. And so she converted. Another incident was my wife's sister, who married a Protestant. I have to say that some of his, or let me just say that his siblings are all very, very, very true blue. Absolutely. But the guy that our sister married is not, will be his president. He never ever claimed all this extra baggage of religion and sect. He couldn't be bothered with it, in other words. And they've been married for all those years, reared a family. They had a lot to put up with in the marriage, of course, from his siblings, him marrying a Fenian, a Tim, a Catholic, whatever you want to call him. And again, my wife's father and family were a bit shocked at the marriage, but accepted it, got on with it. In fact, they lived across the road from the mother and father, who are now long dead, of course. And in my wife's brother-in-law's case, the Protestant that is, he's never converted, he has no intention of converting. But do you know that he goes to a lot of the celebrations in the Catholic Church at the year? At Easter, he goes to the, and that's a Holy Thursday, Holy Friday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday services. He goes along with the family to Mass. He never misses midnight Mass at Christmas. He absolutely loves that. And he's adamant about children, grandchildren being brought up in the Catholic faith, and being, in fact, it's him that instigated and pushed for his daughter to get her child christened as quickly as possible. So, a couple of incidents just indirectly in my wife's family regarding religion and mixed marriages, how it can cause tremendous strife. And in actual fact, it can open people's eyes, because in the first case I mentioned, the daughter-in-law was so shocked that her father and mother and family, apart from the one brother, would not put everyone behind them for that one day and turn up at their daughter's wedding, that she realised that that hatred and bigotry was just too much. And again, in the second incident, the second tale, my wife's brother-in-law wanted and wants no part of all that baggage, and just wants to live a life. He went through a lot as well when he married my wife's sister. He really did. He put up with a lot of nonsense. And even in that town, as I mentioned, had to suffer a lot, because he liked to go to the pub. He liked to, he's a sociable guy. And he had to put up with a lot for a long, long while before they left him alone. But he was adamant they weren't going to change anything. So, I think Chris's, I could write an epic poem now. It's kind of stirred in me a lot of things. But the thing I admire about it is the people that are involved, directly involved, and that is either the bride or the groom, sometimes have a heck of a lot to put up with. And when you think they know all this, and they know the hardship they're going to have to endure, possible, what's the word I'm looking for, when families distance themselves and don't want to know you, ostracised, yes, that's the word, ostracised, by your own family, Maybe they might never even talk to you again, or if they do talk to you, it will never be the same. And yet, love endures, and you're determined to go ahead and do it. You won't be swayed. And after all, that's what it's all about, isn't it? And just to think that people are so in love, so prepared to put all this under the weight of oppression from both sides, it's tremendous. And I have all the admiration for my wife's sister-in-law in the original story, and absolutely for my wife's brother-in-law in the second story, because what he's put up with and endured, yeah, that's, to me, I admire him tremendously. And yet most people will probably say nothing about it, but anyway, that's it. And I think that's enough. Yes. And by the way, the snow is getting heavier and heavier. So I'm going to have to shelter below something here to get my device back in my pocket. Bye for now.